This week's Shurim has been sponsored by family C. Bloom, Leila Nishmas, Maras, Rochel, Bas, Menachem, Manas, Olei HaShalom. Kof Aleph Elul, Tuesday the 20th of September, Rabbi Yoni Birnbaum, Shira Sachayim, the Song of Love.
Morning. The Pasuk in this week's Sedra, in Vayelech, says, Va'ato kisvu lachem es ha-shira ha-zois, v'lamdo es b'nei Yisrael, simo v'fihem, and as is well known, although the Poshut Pshat in this Pasuk is referring to, as Rashi says, referring to Shira Hazinu, the Shira Hazois is the Shira of Hazinu. The Chazal learned in several places, primarily in Gemara in Sanhedrin, says that Chof Aleph Umud Beis, that this tells us the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. That every Jew has a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. The Gemara says, "Omer Rabba, afal pi she'nichu lo avoysov, the Adam Sefer Torah, mitzvah lechtoiv mishaloi, she'ne'amar va'ato kisvu lochem es ha'shira hazois." The question here, the obvious question here, is why is the Torah referred to as Shira? What is it about the Torah that the Torah decides, when the Torah is giving us the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, the Torah decides to call itself a Shira? A song. What's interesting is it appears that the Rambam, it's clear that the Rambam had this kasha as well. The Rambam says like this, the Rambam says, Mitzvah sasei, I'll call ish for ish Yisrael. This is in Hilchos Tefillin and Mezuzah Sefer Torah, Perek Zion. He says, Mitzvah sasei, I'll call ish for ish Yisrael. It's a mitzvah sasei on every person, ichtoiv Sefer Torah la'atzmoi, to write a Sefer Torah for themselves, shenehemar va'ato kisvu lochem es ha'shiro. Kloima, and this means to say, kisvu lochem Torah sheyesh bo shirozu. Write for yourselves the Torah that has inside it this shira, this song. Because you're not allowed to write the Torah in separate parshios. There's a halacha that says you're not allowed to write sections of the Torah. And therefore, the Rambam says, that's why you have to write the entire Sefer Torah in order to fulfill this mitzvah. What the Rambam clearly seems to be saying here is that be'etzem, the mitzvah is to write the Shira Sazinu. The problem is you cannot write only the Shira Sazinu because you're not allowed to. Because you're not allowed to write a chelek of the Torah. And therefore you have to write the entire Torah. There are several major kashas on this Rambam. The first kasha the Shagisari asks has a whole tshuva on this line in the Rambam. And he says the first kasha is, we know that the halacha is you're allowed to write chumashim. So why is the mitzvah not to write just Sefer Dvarim? Because although you're not allowed to write the Torah, parshas, but you are allowed to write a chumash. And I believe he leaves this b'tzarechiyun. But there are others who ask further on the Rambam. Primarily, the Chasam Sofer in his Chulas in Yeridea, he brings the Rambam, and it seems that there was the Shoyel in the Chulas wanted to suggest, in fact, that the mitzvah is really only to write the Shira Sazinu. That's the mitzvah. And the only reason you write the rest of it is simply because you're not allowed to write a section. And we'll see in a minute what the nafkuminas are. But the Chasam Sofer says that cannot be the case. He says, "V'ein odom she'esachel afarish," that would be foolish to explain the gamlo maskona, that even according to the maskona, ikur kavonas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hu al ksivas hashira. That the main kavona of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was in writing just the Shiras Hazinu. But because one's not allowed to write a Megillah by itself, a section of the Torah by itself, that's why the Torah says you have to write the entire Sefer Torah. And therefore, the entire Torah would be tofel to the Shiras Hazinu. And he said, what's the nafkumina? Because either way, you have to write the entire Torah. So what's the difference? Nafkumina, the over because of Shira Lechuda, if you did write on a clock just the Shira, nihid over lichtov Torah Megillah, even though you have been over the Savera and you have written the Torah as just a part of the Torah, Torah as a Megillah, in other words, a small section of the Torah, mikol matn fayotzi echevosei. You've already been yotzi yochir. You fulfilled your mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. That would be the one nafkumina. Einami says Shekozav Kol Torah v'nifsula ad Hashira. A very interesting case. What happens if you write the entire Sefer Torah? You do write the whole thing, and then it becomes posel. But the Shira is okay. The Shira still remains kosher. So again, Yotzei Chevosei. That would be the nafkuminas. You would have been able to fulfill the mitzvah. He says, Al koponim ledaiti leyitab azeh barbe rav dechad yoyim, no one would make that mistake. But nihani al maloso apam echol azeh al daito, how the shoyl could ever consider this would be the case. So what does the Chasam Sofer say? He says, Aval posha d'onu bonu lehichiach shehakavona me'ikara al kol ha-Torah. That the kavona in the first place was of the mitzvah and the Torah is on the entire Torah. And therefore the kasha is, why is it expressed in terms of a shira? Why is it expressed in terms of the song? Because the shira sa'azinu is, so to speak, the testimony, it testifies to the entire Torah. It refers to Yaruf Kamot, it refers to the entire Torah. And or because it is the end of the Torah, it's the completion of the Torah, and that's why the Torah refers to itself as a shira in writing this mitzvah. But he says it's quite clear that the ikar kavana must be on the entire Torah. That's what the Chasam Sofer said. There is definitely a place here to examine this further. Although the Chasam Sofer says that the reason why it writes shira is simply because that is the tashlum, the completion of the Torah. There are many others who suggest other reasons why it is the Torah is referred to as a shira. And by examining those, we get a very, very interesting idea into what our perspective to Torah generally should be. And by extension to the concept of shira, what exactly shira means when we talk about shira. The Hamik Dova in his Hakdoma to the whole Torah, he brings this pasuk. He brings this Gemara that learns that there's a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah from Va'atzo Kisvu Lachem Es Hashira Hazos. And he explains, he says that there are two distinct qualities of a song that a shira has, which a non-song, for example, a narrative which is not expressed as a song does not have. And he says the first of these is the b'shir enu enim ravur yofa kmo sipa prozi. The tzorech lasos ha'oros min hatzad. When it comes to a shir, you have to have other explanations. There has to be explanations to a song. You have to understand it. It's not like a narrative which you can just read, he says. Because this stanza refers to this particular story or this particular event, and this refers to it, and another stanza refers to another particular event. And he says the idea is that's not drush. That is the teva hashir, a feel of, that's the nature of the song, even a regular, an ordinary song. And it's only a person who understands what the person who wrote the song was trying to get to can really understand the message of the song. That is if you want to understand exactly what the song means, you need to have the background information. You need to know what the kavana of the song was supposed to be. And the point he's trying to make here is that the fact that the nature of the song is that it requires pirushim, it requires explanations, that it's not called a drush. He says, that's not a drush. That is pshat hamikra. He says, because the Torah is called a song, we see, because it's called a shira, we see that the pshat hamikra is the necessity of explanation is in fact the poshut pshat. That's what it is. In order to understand the Torah, the only way to understand it, the poshut pshat in the Torah, is with the explanations of Chazal. It's understand it through Chazal. And without that, you can't understand it at all, because that is the nature of a song. Without that, you can't understand it. And he says the second point that a song has is that that a song is it has the quality that it has other hints and things hidden in it which are not the simple explanation. For example, he refers to the common practice to write a song according to the Aleph base, or to the letters of the letters of each stanza to spell out the name of the mechaber, of the author. And the point here is that a song has within it also other messages, deeper messages, which in order to understand them, you have to look deeper into it. And that's aside from the Pshat HaMikra. And these sodos, these hidden things, that explains why, when it comes to a song, or by extension, Lahavdil, the Torah, is not always written in a way which would seem to be the most obvious way to write it. There are very often, one has discussion, why does the Torah specifically write it in this way? And the answer often is, because there are other things the Torah is trying to teach us. Chazal will say, because it wrote it in this way, that's why there is that's how we can see this underlying message that the Torah is telling us. So that's another quality that Torah has that explains why it's expressed as a song. So this is the pshat of the Hamek Dovah. But the main Mahalach here, which I'd like to focus on, is a mahalach which necessitates an understanding of what song means, what the word shira actually means. But in order to do so, and this is a mahalach of the Vilna Gaon and others, Pachad Yitzchok, we first have to be mucked in with another kasha. And this is this is based on a Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota and Aflamat Hay brings the Maisa in Shmuel base with when the Oran was brought back from the Plishtim. The Oran comes back from the they managed to rescue the Oran from the Plishtim, and there's a little celebration. The David HaMelech is celebrating, and David HaMelech decides to bring the Oran back on a wagon. And there was a man called Uzzah, and Uzzah sees he thinks that the Oran is about to fall off the wagon, and he stretches out his hand to steady the Oran to make sure that it doesn't fall off, because he thinks it's going to fall. And it says, "Vayicharaf Hashem b'Uzzah," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry with Uzzah for doing so, for believing that the Oran could fall. The Oran is noses nosov. The Oran carries those who carry it, and Uzzah is killed. Uzzah dies. And David HaMelech is very upset that this has taken place. And the Gemara says, like this. It says, Dorash Rova, Mipnei Ma Ne'enash David. Why was David punished? Why did David have to go through this? What did David HaMelech do wrong that he had to go through this onesh of seeing this man punished by death and disturbing the celebrations? And the Gemara says, "Bepneisha kara ledivrei Torah zemiros," because he called divrei Torah zemiros, which we translate as songs. He called Torah songs. Where do we see the David HaMelech called Torah songs? Shneemar as a pasuk in Tehillim, "Zemiros hoyelichu kecho beveis mugurai." That zemiros were your statues were to me like songs in my dwelling place. Omalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to David HaMelech, "Divrei Torah shekosu bohen hisif einecho boi veinenu." That if you blink, if you fold your eye, literally, it's gone. Atokoro son zemiros. In other words, you take your mind off Torah. You have a hesech hadas for a moment, and it's not there. You've lost it. Atokoro son zemiros. You're calling it songs, and because of that, says the Rebbeinu Shlomo, "Hareini machshilcha b'dovar." I'm going to make you stumble in something. Shafilu tinokos shel beis rabon yodinoser. That even people, even school children, know. That it had to be carried on the shoulders of the Bnei Kahos, and it wasn't allowed to be to be carried in a wagon. He decided to bring it in a wagon, and that's why he was nichshol to bring it in a wagon, which led to the death of Uzzah. So again, the kasha here is obvious, and this makes the kasha much bigger, because here we have the Torah being David HaMelech being punished for calling the Torah zemiros, for calling the Torah songs, whereas we see that the Torah itself is called a shira, is called a song. The mahalach here of the Achronim, in order to understand this, is based, as you would have expected, on the difference between Shira and Zimra. There is clearly a distinction here between Shira and Zimra. What's interesting is that the beginnings of this pshat is actually suggested by the in the Marsha, in his Chiddush HaGadol. The Marsha says, he explains, "Ki hazemer hu befiv shel adam lefi shor." Zemer is something which is a temporary thing in a person's mouth. It doesn't last long. It's a little song. "Aval divrei Torah hem tzrichin tmidis." They have to be always there. "Shelo yomushu mipiv, kidei shelo yishtachu mimenu." They should never, "Lo yomushu Torah hazem mipicha." The Torah must never be removed from your mouth. "Kidei shelo yishtachu mimenu." In order that it shouldn't be forgotten. So what we see is that the Marsha is picking up on the Nakuda that Zemer is something temporary, is something finite. It's something which is by definition of a limited in nature. And this is actually this is something which the Vilna Gaon and others develop much further. The Gaon explains that Zmira is something finite. It has a beginning and an end, and at that point the song reaches its completion. Obviously, that's why on a very basic level, that's why we on Shabbos we sing Zemiros. Zemiros are finite in length. They have a beginning. They have an end. That's a Zemiro. And the word itself, of course, is lo sizmor karmacho. It's related to the word lo sizmor karmacho kilayim, which literally translates, you should not prune your vineyard. Right? Sitizmor is to prune. It's limited. It's something which removes. Right? Which has an end to it. There is something more to it, to this as well, to the nature of a zmirah. When we talk about cutting off and pruning, the nature of a zemer is sung when an obstacle is overcome, when there's some negativity that is removed. Then a person sings a zemer. That's what a zemer is. And that fits with the word lo sizmor, to prune. When a person has overcome a certain obstacle, something negative, and we'll see more exactly what this means, then the natural reaction is to sing a zemer. That's what zemer is. Now, shira, however, there are two other words which are very closely related to the word shira, which again we translate as song. Shira is related to the word shura. Shura means a straight line. Right? Shura means a straight line. It's also related to the word shir, which means a chain. The Gemara in Shabbos, I believe, talks about the keleb wearing a shir. A chain, another word for a chain is a shir. Or something connecting. What exactly a shira is, the nature of a shira is something infinite. And we see this particularly with the shira sayom. With the shira by the Yamsuf. The shira that Klal Yisrael sang by the sea was a song that revealed their innermost feelings. It was the culmination of everything, of the entire process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. When they arrived at the sea and they experienced that feeling of shlemus, that feeling of completion, of finally reaching and seeing openly the nisim and understanding the whole process of what they had been through, the way they articulated those feelings is through a shir, is through a song. And the point here that the Gaon makes is that it represents, because feelings by definition have they do not have an end and a beginning. They're just an expression of a person's inside, of a person's neshama. And therefore, a shir itself, the word shira, something when we say shira, we mean something infinite with no end and no beginning. That's also why the level that Klal Yisrael had to reach in order to sing the shira by the sea was something which had not been reached before, which is why the Gemara, the Medrash says, Medrash Rabba says, that miyum shabor HaKadosh Baruch Hu esa oylom, va'ach omdi Yisrael al hayam, lo matzinu odom, she'oma shira al HaKadosh Baruch Hu el Yisrael. They were the first people to sing shira. They were the first ones to sing shira, to actually have that feeling of needing to sing, because their feelings and to articulate their feelings and those emotions within them. It was as if the neshama itself was connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through song, through shira. That's the concept of the song. The reason why we're relating this word shira to shura, which means a straight line, is because a song, which a shira, is sung when there are no obstacles. There is nothing negative. That has all been removed. That is not there anymore. Now is the time to actually sing a shira, to express. A shira is without obstacles, without any negativity at all. It's it's just a sort of pure happiness that connects directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what a shira is. Something on a much higher level than a zmira. This is how we can understand why the Torah is specifically referred to as a shira. Why David HaMelech was punished in turn for calling it a zemer. To call the Torah a zemer is in effect saying it's limited. Both that it's limited in nature and that the purpose of it is to overcome something. There's some obstacle to overcome, the word zemer meaning pruning, to cut something off, and therefore one would learn Torah for some extraneous reason. And that, of course, is not correct. And that's what David HaMelech was punished for calling it a zemer. That's what the Gemara in Soto means. But the Torah itself, the reason why the Torah itself uses the word shira to call it, the reason why the Torah calls itself a shira, is because the Torah is telling us what our attitude towards Torah should be. the attitude towards Limud HaTorah in general should be like a shira, should be like a song. Something which is an inner expression of the neshama. The Torah itself reflects the deepest feelings within us. That is what ultimately the Torah can achieve. The learning Torah gives expression to the innermost desire of the neshama to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That word shir, meaning a chain, meaning to connect. And we find this. In that case, the reason is it's very specific that the Torah uses the word Shira here to refer to the Torah, because it's telling us what our approach and attitude towards Torah generally should be. And we find this very beautifully expressed in another place. The Gemara in Megillah and Daf Gimel Amud Aleph talks about the parasha in Sefer Yehoshua. Yehoshua, just before just after he's performed the Bris Milah, after they entered Eretz Yisrael, there's a very interesting parasha which is very difficult to understand. The Novi says, "Vayi b'yos Yehoshua b'yericho, v'yisoeino v'yar." He raised up his eyes and he saw, "V'nei ish omei de negdoi v'charboi shlufo v'yodoi." And there's a sword, there's an outstretched sword, there's a drawn sword in his hand. "V'yelech Yehoshua elav," and Yehoshua went to him, "V'yomelo," and he said to him, "Halonu atoim etzareinu," are you for us or are you for our enemies? "V'yomelo ki ani sar tzavo Hashem ato vosi." He says, I have now come, I am the sar tzavo Hashem. "V'yipol Yehoshua el ponov arzo v'yishtochu." What does my master say to his servant? And he says, take off your shoe from your feet, and Yeshua did so. And that's the end of the parasha. And the next parasha says, it talks about the Yerichai, how they managed to capture Yerichai. So, just looking at the poshut pshat and the psukim, doesn't seem to have been anything achieved. What is the purpose of this visit by the Malach to Yehoshua? So the Gemara in Megillah famously takes apart these pesukim, explains what was going on here, and the Gemara says that the Malach said to the Malach came with a criticism to Yehoshua. The Malach said in the Lashon of the Gemara, "Omaloi," he said to him, "Emesh bitaltem tomet shel beinu avayim." Yesterday you didn't perform the tomet, the tomet. You didn't offer up the tomet shel beinu avayim, because you were busy preparing for the battle against Yericho. V'achshav, and now, bitaltem Talmud Torah. Now you have been mevatel Talmud Torah. That means tonight, this evening, you've been mevatel from learning Torah because of your preparations for the battle. And Yehoshua said to him, and for this you deserve to be punished. And Yehoshua, this is a criticism of what is taking place in. So Omalo, Yeshua said to him, "Al eiza mehem bosa." Which one have you come for? Okay, you've said that we've done this wrong, we haven't been makir of the Talmud, and we also haven't learned Torah. Well, for which one have you come? And he said, "Omaloi ato bosi." I have come now. And that's the words in the Novi, "Ato bosi," I have come now. And Rashi says that this is the Poshut Pshat Lechora, "Ato bosi," I have come now, meaning I have come for the thing you've done wrong now, which is that you've been mevatel from Talmud Torah, right? As opposed to the Talmud Shabbat Rabbayim, which you didn't do yesterday. But Tosfos says something very interesting. Tosfos says, "Ato bosi, dichsiv, v'ato kisvu lochem es ashira hazois." That the word ato, Tosfos of Megillah said, the word ato here is a reference to the ato kisvu lochem es ashira hazois, which is, of course, in this week's parasha, referring to the mitzvah to write a sefer Torah. And that's how that's the pshat, not because it's the one which took place now, but because when he says ato bosi, he's saying, "I've come because of the ato, because of Torah, because you have been mevatel Talmud Torah," as it says, "V'ato kisvu lochem es ashira hazois." And the kasha here is obviously why specifically this pasuk. Why should the Malach choose to say ato bosi v'ato kisvu lochem es ashira hazois? And the Ponovitcherov explains, this was actually said over by I think Shulzovsky in a hesped for the Ponovitcherov, in the name of the Ponovitcherov. And he says like this: the reason why this posuk is used specifically here is because the Malach is telling Yehoshua, you didn't get the message of the ato kisvu lochem es hashira hazos. You didn't appreciate what the attitude towards Torah needs to be. Had you appreciated what our attitude towards Torah needs to be, you would never have been vatalit. Because if one treats Torah like a shira, as something infinite, something that transcends time or space, that doesn't depend on what obstacles or difficulties are in one's path, that one, then the fact that you were busy preparing for a battle, again, preparing for a milchama the next day, would never have prevented you from learning Torah tonight. Because if one has the correct attitude towards Torah, one sees it as a shira, one sees it as something infinite, something transcendent, something which needs to be, which goes beyond any time and space and applies in every condition. One has that attitude towards the Torah as a shira, then one would never be mevatel it. That was the specific criticism that the Malach had of Yeshua. Had you on a basic level, you're right. Yes, you're busy preparing for a milchama. But if you approach Torah like a shira, then you would never have that. Then you would never have been mevatel it. So this is again we see the same concept. As a final point, there with this we can understand, we can gain a deeper understanding of our own pesukei de zimra, what we say during every shacharis. The word zimra, as many unfortunately explain, the reason why it's called pesukei de zimra is related to the word zemer, meaning to prune, to zimra, to prune a vineyard. Because what pesukei de zimra is supposed to achieve is to remove those kochos hatoma that are created, the negative influences that are created, spiritual influences that are created as a result of our own averus, which prevent us actually being mispalel. And that's why pesukei de zimra is so important, because one cannot get to the actual being able to daven unless one has first removed all those obstacles. That's why it's called pesukei de zimra. Only when one has achieved that can the shira, can the song itself shine through. And this explains why the end of pesukei de zimra, right, the shira which doesn't relate to anything negative, removing any negativity, is actually the end of pesukei de zimra. What's interesting is that the Rambam, in his Nusach HaTfila, which you'll find in Sefer Avo, actually places the Shira Sayom after Yishtabach, which is very interesting, as a totally separate part of the Seder HaTfila. It's not even included in pesukei de zimra, which of course we don't do. But according to this would really it would really explain why the Rambam does that. And of course, Shimon Schwab in his Pirush on Tefillah brings the Chofetz Chaim, who says that this is why we can understand the Gemara, which says a person who is soch ben yishtabach leyotze choyza olam eorchei hamelchoma. The Gemara says in Sotah that a person who speaks between yishtabach and yotze, in Birkas HaYotze, in other words, the brachos of Kriyas Shema, is not allowed to. He's choyza olam eorchei hamelchoma. That's an avera for which a person is not allowed to fight in battle. And why specifically this avera? Because why is the Gemara use this particular avera? Because you cannot get to that stage. Or why is it so severe? Because you cannot get to that stage of tefillah at all unless you've been through. You have that connection between pesukei de zimra and the rest of the tefillah. But we conclude the tefillah, the bracha of yishtabach, with haboicher b'shirei zimra. One who we translate it as who chooses songs of praise, which is a very obviously inaccurate translation. Haboicher b'shirei zimra, according to this mahalach, can be understood as follows. In order to get to the shira, in order to get to that pure connection, that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not dealing with any obstacles, you first have to go through the zimra. You have to go through that process of removing that negativity, which has a limited, finite purpose. And then you can get to the real shira, the real connection, the ultimate expression of which is the Torah, which is the neshama's connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the deepest level. The Torah is the ultimate shira. That's what the Torah is. It's the song of life itself. The result then is Melech Chei HaOlamim. When we say Melech Chei HaOlamim, Rav Munk explains in his Pirush on Tefillah, Olam HaTefillah, that we use this phrase both in Baruch Sha'amah and Yishtabach, because by removing all those impediments to Tefillah, what we are doing is acknowledging Hashem as the sole source of power everywhere. So Melech Chei HaOlamim is worlds both in terms of space and time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, both in terms of space and time. There is nothing else. There's an Ein Od Milvadoi. That's why we start Baruch Shama with that. That's also why we complete Baruch Shama once we've been through that process of the Zimra, of Pesukei de Zimra. And then we can then approach the Shiras Hayom, and we can then approach the rest of the Tefillah, and ultimately, Limud HaTorah itself with this attitude, which is that of a shira, of the pure connection of expressing of the Torah being itself a song of life.